Yes, welcome along then. It's Aintree Week. The Grand National Festival is here. My name's Sam Hart for this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. A brilliant three-day festival coming up with one of the world's most famous races on Saturday at 4 p.m. We're bringing you a special show this week. We haven't actually bought you a top five bets video for the Aintree Grand National Festival, but we thought we would do so. They're ever so popular around the big festivals, so why not? Why not bring one for one of the big festivals in Liverpool? Joining me on the panel this week, we've got Harry Wilson and Matt Rennie from the Racing Post, and from Unibet, as ever, we have Mr. Ed Nixon. Ed, just quickly to you first, the Aintree Grand National Festival, where does it sit for you in line of kind of the top festivals across the year?
Well, for me personally, it's the race itself is the biggest race in the world. Not just one of them, Sam, it is the biggest race in the world. In terms of the festival, it's got better and better. I mean, I'm old enough to go back to the 70s and the 80s, and there was a time when it might not have even been run, and the National was probably just the one race that you look forward to. But over the last few years, it really has become a festival in its own right. I think the Thursday is the only day where you have four Grade Ones on the same card throughout the whole of the year in the UK. So there's that, plus the big handicaps. Just looking at the entries, we've just been talking about it off camera. There's plenty of horses wanting to run. So a quick answer to your question is it's a very big festival indeed, and lots of customers and hopefully listeners of the podcast will be having a bet.
Yeah, and Matt Rennie is our man up in the north, not towards the Liverpool area of the north, but you're up in the north. Will we be seeing you at Aintree this week?
Not for me. I'm on the right side of the Pennines, in my view, in wonderful Yorkshire. But look, it's amazing. Aintree and Liverpool are amazing. I've been there the last 2 years, but unfortunately not for me. Not for me this year. I'm on live blogging duties and stuff from the wonderful other side of the Pennines. But I love it as a festival because before the build up to the National itself, which is so important, it feels like a real celebratory festival. It always helps. At least one of the 3 days at Aintree is always gloriously sunny. I think every day was wonderful last year, which makes just all the feel-good factor so good. And having it in Liverpool as well, it's always great for the North to have a real good festival. But Liverpool as a city itself, I'd rarely had time to explore it before. But last year, I thought it was absolutely a magnificent place. It's such a place in its own right, and the people completely make the meeting. But as you say, remember when I was growing up, you know, yes, the Cheltenham Festival is the best festival, but I always remember where I was watching the Grand National and then where I was watching the Derby as well. These were the two when I was a real young'un that I can remember. So, yeah, not for me this year, but I'm really looking forward to watching it all unfold. And I was just thinking earlier, it's just magnificent. People you know don't know anything about racing. They're already talking to you about the Grand National itself because they know it's coming up this week. That shows how far and wide it goes.
Yeah. I get the regular message off the odd people with happy birthday, happy Christmas, any Cheltenham tips, any National tips. That's about it that I get across the year. We all have those friends in racing, I'm sure. Harry Wilson, I'm going to come to you just quickly for more of an analytical brain. I know we're going to get your top five bets in a minute, but the difference between kind of Cheltenham and Aintree and what kind of horses you're looking for at Aintree in comparison to Cheltenham. Just tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, so what I tend to look at is just horses who show most of their best form on flat tracks. Better ground is key as well. I know it's actually quite weird because we're coming off the back of a Cheltenham where basically if you weren't in front, you couldn't win for a lot of the races. And that's pretty much how I view Aintree. You need to be nice and prominent. It's a nice quick track. Speed horses favoured. Yeah, that's the way that I look at it. I don't like Cheltenham. Horses who ran poorly at Cheltenham is an angle that I do consider at Aintree because they probably had this in mind. Especially if they've got other form elsewhere. But yeah, it's a really lovely track, less carnage, I'd say, in the run between the second last and the last. So yeah, really looking forward to the meeting, Sam.
Absolutely. In 48 hours' time, at the time of recording, the party will begin in Liverpool. Right, the way this show works, we'll get the top five bets off our panel, counting down 5 to 1. At the end of it, we'll give a rundown of the top five really quickly. And I've asked the guys as well to put their Grand National selection within their top five. So you'll better hear them as well. And you'll also get my Grand National selection for what it's worth at the end. So I'm going to come to you first, Harry Wilson, for your number five pick ahead of the festival.
ask you that intro, Sam, because I'm picking a horse who performed badly at Cheltenham, and that's One Way West, who finished down the field in the Potemps. He's running in the 120 on Saturday. All his form's on flat tracks, Huntingdon and Kempton. He's progressed really nicely this year, and I thought he shaped really well at Huntingdon behind Ace of Spades. I was really disappointed to see him held up at Cheltenham when he's always front run. So hopefully they revert to that tactics here. And I'd be gobsmacked if he's not better than his mark. And he's a huge price.
Yeah, one to kick you off then. He's around 33-1 with Unibet currently. But One Way West, the 120 on Saturday, that'd be some way to kick off your grand national day, wouldn't it? Matt Rennie, to your number five, please. And I believe you're going to kick things off in the Nash.
Yeah, in the big one. Well, we might as well get out of the way nice and early. I've only put him five purely because the amount of runners are in the race. And I backed him last year. And I'm going to stick with him to make amends. And that's Grange Clare West in the Grand National. Obviously, 4 o'clock at Aintree on Saturday. I thought he ran an absolute storm in the race last year. And I'm in the camp where if he hadn't belted the last fence, I think he really, really would have gone close. I think he would have won. And I just feel like they've had this in mind again all season, and it's bubbled up this way rather than last year where he'd run some stormers in, I think it was the Irish Gold Cup last year. He was second in, and then sort of went, oh, all right, he is a top class Grand National horse. I think they've always aimed at it this year. The Fairy House, the Bobby Joe Chase. We know it's produced the last two winners of the Grand National. It's the simple route that you want to follow, and the National is a race these times around where those higher class horses carrying top weights tend to do really well in since the modifications were made to the contest. So you're taking a risk that he might walk through a fence, but he never really falls. He just seems to make a clanger. I'm hoping he can put it all right today because he's going off the same mark as of 163 as last year. And I just think that run last time shows that he's absolutely primed to perfection for the National. So Grange Clare West, if they can keep backing Iron Maximus to get me nice prize on Grange Clare West, I'd really, really love that.
Not to give my selection away for the end of the show, but I have to say, Matt Rennie, you've got an excellent brain and mind. I really do. Ed Nicholson, to your number five, please.
Yeah, I'm going for Shermanator in the Debenhams Handicap Hurdle on Friday. Now, that's the 5:15. If you're looking at this before the decks come up, he is entered in two races on Friday, so do be careful. He's 8-1 for the race I'm selecting him for, and 25-1 for the other. So this is the more likely. In fact, I think he's more likely to get into this race anyway. Shermanator is a horse that you may know because he ran in that Old Park Star novices hurdle at Cheltenham in December. When I got a whisper for him, he was 40-1. He went into 14s and he was at the back and running an okay race when he fell. I think that must have been two out, thinking about it in my head as I talk. But he has since made amends and has won a couple of times. He's an improving youngster. I know they think a lot of him at Harry Fry Stable. It's interesting they've gone for this race because it's a conditional and amateur jockeys race. And who would you want to be on your horse if you were in this race? Well, the Grand National winning jockey from 12 months ago, that's what they've done. They've got Paddy Mullins on board. Patrick Mullins takes the ride, probably the most experienced amateur there is. And I think he's got a fantastic chance. He won his first handicap last time up of 118, won at Ludlow the time before that. Only on 125, I think he's much better than that. And although it's a difficult race, he's 8-1, really fancies chances. So he's number five, Sam.
Shermanator, that is, in the 5:15 on Friday, the final race on the second day of the festival. And do you know what, Ed, I'm going to throw straight back to you for your number four.
Okay, so you asked earlier on Harry, who's obviously the person to ask, not me, what he goes for at Aintree. And I like to go for young, improving horses in handicaps at Aintree that have shown their level of form. In fact, that have shown their best form last time out, that don't necessarily have had to run at Cheltenham. And in this race, I've got one that's just perfect for me. It's Highlands Legacy, Thursday, 4:40, in what's known as the Red Rum Handicap Chase. Red Rum, obviously, three-time winner of the Grand National. And this is over 2 miles, which I always find a bit strange because although he did win his first ever race as a seller at 5 furlongs, dead-heated at Liverpool, he made his name in staying chasers. But anyway, this is a 2 mile handicap chase. Always worth looking at the Cheltenham form for. But in this particular horse, we've got Highlands Legacy, who has won 2 out of 4 over fences, comes from John Joe and Neil Stable, They weren't right at the beginning of the season. They're slowly but surely finding their form, and he's had some good winners of late, as the team at AJ and John Joe. And this horse, if you go back to when he ran at Aintree in, when was it, November, over course and distance, he lost by 3/4 length, giving a pound to Mambo number 5. Now, that horse, 2 hours previously on the same day, will be running in the Grade 1 Manifesto Novices Chase. So, you know, if you take form literally, and obviously Mambo number 5 has improved since then, you must think that he's got a good chance here off 11 stone 1, I think. He's now rated 133, having started the season off 115. I think Aintree will suit him. In fact, we know it suits him because he came second there early in the season. But I love the long gaps between the last two fences. The long straight. He's a horse that isn't the best of jumpers. I mean, he's not bad, but I think it gives him more time to work out his jumps. And he comes there cruising. He's done that a few times, especially at Windsor last time, when in the end he kind of just got home. But I think there's more to come. And I think Highlands Legacy at around about 10 to 1, it's worth a bet in the Red Rum Handicap Chase. That's Thursday, 4:40. Number 4, Sam.
Number 4, Highlands Legacy, 4:40 on Thursday. And I have to say, yeah, the team had Big Genius run the Irish Grand National on Easter Monday and thought he ran an absolute cracker from the front as well. Matt Rennie, it's your number 4, please.
Yep, sorry, I'm just getting choked about National because I'm so emotional about it. I'm sticking with the Grade 1s. I've gone with a horse at Miss Cheltenham in a race where I think it tends to pay off doing that. I've gone for Dalston Lad in the Sefton Novice Hurdle, 4:40 entry on Friday. For some reason, he was, just wasn't really with it at the start of the season. But since Boxing Day, he's become almost a model pupil, winning at Sedgefield and twice at Haydock. So obviously the other Merseyside track, but similarities to Aintree, flat, lengthy, straight. So I think this is going to suit him absolutely perfectly to a T. He goes from the front, so it's sort of the way Harry was alluding to, you might want them to race at Aintree. He's coming up against rivals, Johnny's Jury, Mondewy Boy, highly respected. But I thought, again, the Albert Barlett this year, as it always is, looked an absolute grueler. And they've only had, 28 days to go over that, rather than he's had 55 from Haydock. So I dare say they've had this in mind for a long, long time, especially being a course winner in a bumper as well. So I think it's all going to play absolutely to his strengths. Dalston Lad for me in the Sefton.
Okay, Dalston Lad then. Yeah, that's in the 4:40 entry on Friday. And Harry Wilson, I don't know how much of an exclusive this is going to be on this show, but your fourth pick is going to be the Grand National selection for yourself. Come on then, who is it?
It's Key the Bourbon, mate. I actually tipped him up back in the big jump off in October at 40-1. And miraculously, he's still 40-1. So I'm happy to go in again. He's just campaigning Grade Ones last season before coming third in the Irish National. It's really interesting that they did that as a novice, because that's exactly what Mullins did with Iron Maximus and Nick Rocket before they went on to win the actual Grand National. This season hasn't been the best. 2 runs on heavy ground, I'm quite happy to excuse, but he ran really well last time over an inadequate trip. He was up there on a decent gallop throughout. In cheap pieces, and he was staying on really strongly at the finish. As Matt said earlier, this isn't the best jumping test anymore. It is a bit worrying when you see form figures of unseated and fell, etc., etc., but this isn't the test it was. And if he gets from A to B, I think he'll be bang there at the finish, and I think 40-1 is huge.
Key de Bourbon in the National for Harry Wilson. And Ed, before I move on to number 3 for the guys, I just want to quickly mention all the offers that Unibet will have across the week, especially extra places in the National. I'm sure there's definitely going to be plenty of them, but there are going to be other offers across the whole of the 3 days.
Yeah, we've got extra places, and our boosts have become very popular with our customers. We will have super boosts, uni boosts, where you decide the boost on which horse you want. You can have up to those 3 of those a day. We'll also have industry best price on one race each day, which is where we're, after a certain time of the day of the race, you will not get a better price anywhere else in the betting village. Probably a good place to go to is the enclosure page on Unibet, where all our offers go up every day. Plus, our regular blogs from Nicky Henderson, who has some really good horses running at this meeting. I think I'll mention a couple in the next few minutes, and who is still looking for his first ever Grand National winner. So hopefully it might be this year, but he's he'll be having a blog. We've actually been at his stables this morning when we record this on Thursday. So we'll have some content, from tomorrow, which will be Wednesday, if you're looking at it today, which is Tuesday. So it all gets a bit complicated, but there'll be plenty of offers and plenty of content.
There you go. Yeah, plenty of offers. Do head to the Unibet website or the Unibet app throughout the week to access all of those. Right, on to number three, the mid-stage now of the show. And Matt Rennie, I'm going to come to you for your third best bet at the festival.
Yeah, and it's going to be one. He does so, so well at Aintree every time he turns up. It's a strong leader in the Liverpool hurdle, 3.05 at Aintree on Saturday. Look, it seems like he's a horse that loves everywhere but Cheltenham, which must be a bit of a pain in the backside for connections when everything's about the Cheltenham Festival these days. But being really, really good at Aintree is not a bad substitute either. Look, he won the race 2 years ago. He was second last year. He made a right hash of the second last. I think he'd have been a lot, lot closer had he not done so. His record at Aintree is 1-2, 1-2. And three of the last three performances have been grade ones. It's a track that simply brings out the best in him. Look, don't know if Woodoo's going to turn up or not. If she does, she'd be a huge danger, but she'd be trying 3 miles for the first time. And then also Gordon's honesty policy in the race as well. So whether he's going to stick with him or her is yet to be seen. But I just think he's very, very battle-proof and very, very reliable at Aintree. And I think he's top class as well. I mean, we've seen he's run great races in the long walk hurdle this year as well behind Impose Toir. I think he's just still, despite being the grade one winner over the course of distance, a little bit underestimated. So strong leader in the Liverpool hurdle for me.
Okay, yeah, nothing beats a strong leader selection in the Liverpool hurdle with Jet 2 sponsoring the race. Apologies, they've taken some, I'm sure that I had to bring out that pun somewhere. Harry Wilson, your number three, please.
Yeah, Dan Skelton, I still have a feeling like he would have definitely targeted this meeting just in case Mullins was on his tail. And I have a feeling that the Topham on Friday, 4.05, has been the plan for Boomborn for some time. Madara tops the market. Obviously, he was very impressive at Cheltenham, but that definitely was his day. This, I think, is Boomborn's day. His two best chase RPRs been achieved at Aintree. Very well handicapped in the pick of his form. Really solid jumper who travels well. And I can just see this setting up lovely for him. And if he gets over the fences, which I'm sure he will, then he's a big player.
This will be Boomborn's day, the 4.05 on Friday. We'll listen to a bit of Graham Robway there, Harry. And Ed Nicholson, your number three, please.
Yeah, I'm going for my favourite, your favourite, everyone's favourite, John Bonn, to win number three, to win the Men in Trades for what will be a third time, won't it, I think. We all know his entry form. He's 4 out of 4. When you look at his Cheltenham form, I think he's 2 out of 8, isn't he, or something ridiculous like that. He definitely prefers Aintree, and he definitely loves this race. So this distance, this race, the course, everything seems to be in his favour. And they were thinking about stepping him up in distance for this meeting, but they've gone for the tried and tested route of the Melling Chase. Last 2 years, he's been 11 to 10 and 4 to 6. So that's one of the reasons I put him on top five, because he's 9 to 4 at the moment. And the reason he is 9 to 4 is the horse that beat him Cheltenham by 10 lengths, Hartwood takes him on. But this is John Bond's, this is his course. This is just absolutely perfectly made for him. And I would rather be on John Bond at 9 to 4 than Hartwood at 5 to 2, which is what we're being offered at the moment at Aintree. So yeah, John Bond is there again to be shot at. What a horse he's been. 10 years young, never been out the first two, never been out the first one at Aintree.
Yeah, John Bond's a hell of a race at the moment. I know we're waiting for full declarations, but like John Bond, Hartwood, Grey Dorney, Imperi Pass, Protectorat. I know they're all not going to go, but God, it's a hell of a race that it's looking like at the moment. So that's in the 3:30 at Aintree, the Melling Chase on Friday. John Bond for Ed Nicholson. Right, next best time for the festival. And Harry Wilson, we'll start with you, please.
Yeah, we're going to stick with the Skelton theme and go for the freebooter, because Mr. Hope Street has been aimed at this meeting for some time, I have a feeling. His two handicap attempts over fences have been right-handed, and that just doesn't suit him. His best performance came over fences was left-handed at Haydock. And that day, he chased home the Jukebox Man, who then won the King George, and Iroko was second, who's obviously like a third favourite for the Grand National. He ran really well at the weights that day. Like, he's only rated 130. that could be a ridiculously low mark for a horse of his ability. Stepping up to 3 mile will suit as well, giving you one over that trip over hurdles. Lights good ground. And yeah, this is very much Hope Street's day, if I will coin Graham Rodway.
I missed Hope Street. Yeah, 2:30 on Saturday, the next best for Harry Wilson. Ed Nixon, to you then, please. Your next best, and this is your Grand National selection.
It's a hell of a race this year's Grand National. It's becoming such a fantastic race in terms of quality of horse that runs there. And I'm going for Johnny who will be one of the bottom weights here. Just goes to show you what kind of quality the race is these days. One last time out at the Cheltenham Festival. One of JP McManus's two winners on his 75th birthday then at Cheltenham. And that was, I noticed that was with cheek pieces and wind surgery first time. So hopefully it will work again. He has run over the national fences over the Grand Sefton course, which is obviously shorter distance. That's the only concern. He's not been further than 3.5, 3.2. As so many horses haven't been when they come to the Grand National, to be fair. So you're taking his stamina on trust. But having watched the video of Cheltenham three times, the way he ran up the hill, I think he'll be all right. And also did he come fifth in the Irish Grand National? He's run some good races. So he has run once over further, isn't he? That's 3.5, I think. So there's plenty to like about him. I also love the fact that I love a story in the Grand National. I always try to work out the story for the horse, which is probably not the best thing to say for a form podcast. But I think the story of Richie McLernan winning on this horse would be fantastic. In 177-year history of the Grand National since Lottery first won in 1839, no jockey has lost by the shortest distance than him. A nose in 2012 when Neptune Colonges beat his Sunny Hill Boy, who incidentally was carrying the same colours as he does today on Johnny Who, and was trained by the same trainer, John Joe O'Neill. So he'll put all those bad memories to bed, losing a nose, I think, by winning on Johnny who, if he can manage to make two back-to-back good performances and stay that extra distance, I think he's a fair price, and give JP McManus yet another winner in the big race.
Johnny Who then for Ed Nixon in the big one, the Grand National, 4 o'clock on Saturday. And if you are watching the Grand National and you see plenty of green and yellow silks, you'll be going off the caps, which haven't been decided yet. But I mean, JP's got 5 of the top 8 in the betting, which is just ridiculous. It really, really is. Right. Matt Rennie, it's your next best. I'm hoping a bit of study's gone into this.
It has, yes. And we're going to hopefully kick off the meeting with a bang. We're going in the opener on Thursday, the 1:45, the anniversary 4-year-old juvenile hurdle. It's mainly form, 99% form. It's 0.1%. I'd love to see this horse win for the North of England. It's Manella Study for Adam Nicol and Ryan Mannier and the Humbles as well. Look, I know he's got to come up against Maestro Conti, who finished ahead of him at Cheltenham, but to me, Manella Study was the best horse to take out of that race completely. You know, he was hampered early on and it just sort of lit him up a little bit. And he was absolutely tanking turning for home. I backed him that day and I was thinking as soon as he turned it was sort of here we go territory. It's just going to be by how far. I think just because of that, and the Triumph is always a little bit more of a nightmare of a race than this one. Well, as seen by the winner, I don't think we can all remember 15-1, that Plunder Charlene, I think your name was. But I just think he was the best horse to take it. I don't think he got the hill just as well as he did beforehand. And I think this flat track is just going to be absolutely up his street. He's a well-bred for the flat, let alone to go over jumps. So he's going to have serious gears on ground, which, as we've from the Adrian Clark said this week, it's drying all the time and they're watering every day. It's going to be quick and safe jumps ground. And having those gears and that flat pedigree should stand him in really, really good stead. Adam Nicol, the trainer, says he reckons Aintree's going to be right up his street, and I'm in whole agreement. I think he's a real, real top-notch prospect in these type of races on the flat course. I think everything's going to be in his favour.
Yeah, Manella Study then for Matt Rennie. The 1:45, the opener on Thursday. Yeah, it's look, it's really, really open for him to go and win that. Definitely is. And what a great story that'd be for Adam Nicol, who trains in a beautiful part of the world. Right, after this short advert, we're going to be getting the best bets from the gents. We'll also be getting their confirmed Grand National selection, which you've already heard of them. And then we'll do an outro for this video where I might see if I can get a 1-2-3 off the gentleman.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat. With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet. You're on.
Yes, welcome back to the final part of this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. You've had the top four, sorry, the first four selections off the gents for the Grand National meeting. It's time to get their best bet for the whole of the 3 days. And Harry Wilson, I'm going to start with you.
We're going to go for the 1:45 at Aintree on Friday. And that is in Divar Blue, who I've had in my tracker all season. I was all over him for the Jerry Field and think he can count himself a bit unlucky to be beaten 3 lengths by Tutti Quanti, who then absolutely bolted up in the William Hill hurdle. In third that day was Indemnity, who won the Sussex Champion hurdle the other day as well, so the form was rock solid. He relished his first try at 2.5 miles over this course and distance, absolutely bolted up, and he's been kept fresh for this assignment, and he's got everything in his favour.
Indivar Blue, then 1:45 on Friday. Harry Wilson, that's his number one fancy. Matt Rennie, your number one fancy comes on Thursday?
Yep, Thursday, 4:05 Aintree, the Aintree hurdle. I'm sticking with Brighter Days Ahead. I deserted her at Cheltenham last time, but I was actually quite impressed with how well she ran behind Lossy Mouth. I think it's so clear, even though she's won the Irish Champion hurdle and the Christmas hurdle at Leopardstown, I do just think at these kind of tracks, especially in the spring, she's miles better at 2.5 miles. And I can't really wrap my head around why the new line is the favourite over her when I thought she was holding him okay in the champion hurdle, and she's getting £7 off of him again today. And we know she does ever so well at Aintree as well. She won the Mersey Novice hurdle 2 years ago by 7.5 lengths. It was sort of the performance which absolutely made her burst onto the scene and everyone think, wow, she's a proper good mare. There is a small concern about Gordon Elliott's form at the moment. I think it's at 9% as we speak, and they didn't run that well at Fairy House, but I think she's just a top-notch mare who's in far better form this season and this time than she was last season as well. So track, trip, ground, mare's allowance, it's all massive ticks. Brighter Days Ahead has to win the Aintree hurdle.
Okay, Brighter Days Ahead then, the battle against the new lion. That's in the 4:05 on Thursday. And Ed Nicholson, there's no Constitution Hill for your best bet this year, but I believe another Nicky Henderson superstar is your best bet.
Yeah, a potential superstar anyway. Lalamba, who lost his unbeaten record over fences in the Arkle last time out at the Cheltenham Festival. But I think every one of the stable has been thinking this horse is a 2.5-3 mile horse. But when you win grade ones over 2 miles, you've got to keep on going really until you get beaten in them, as has been the case with Jonbon in the past and Shiskin. So I think getting beat in the Arkle probably in the long term will be a good thing for Lalamba, because I think he's a 2.5-3 miler. And I will be following him in the Manifesto Novices Chase, a grade one over 2.5 miles on Thursday. It's a 220. He is miles ahead on official ratings. He is a short price, prohibitive, some will say. But I think he'll win this before going on to even better things. I've got a feeling he might even run in the King George next season over 3 miles. So I'm expecting him to win. I think the track will really suit the... we said this before, but the gaps between the last 2 or 3 fences suits the galloping types, and this is a galloping track. And he did make a mistake at a vital point of it in the Arkle. And I happened to speak to Nico the day of the Arkle after he'd ran in the Arkle. And the thing he said he'd be okay, just get him stepped up in distance. That's exactly what he said, which is what we've got here. So 2.5 miles, Lalamba, this will be the start of him becoming a great, I think, Sam. I think he might win this and then win plenty more Grade Ones in the future.
There you go. Lamba then, not just one for this week, but one for the future. For Ed Nicholson then. Right, that's it for the top five bets. Before we do the Grand National selections and 1-2-3s, what I will do is just get you to do a quick rundown of your selections from 5-1. We always do that on this show. We'll bring a graphic up on the screen for our viewers. If you are watching on YouTube, get ready to screenshot these now. So Matt Rennie, I'll start with you. Just a quick rundown, 5-1, please.
Yep, 5 is... Grange Clare West in the Grand National, 4 o'clock Aintree Saturday. 4, Dalston Ladder, 4:40 on Friday in the Sefton Novices Hurdle. 3, Strong Leader, 3:05 on Saturday in the Liverpool Hurdle. 2, Milletta Study, 1:45 Aintree on the Open Day on Thursday, the anniversary 4-year-old juvenile hurdle. And number 1, 4:05 on the Thursday. Brighter days ahead in the Aintree Hurdle.
There you go there, Matt Rennie's selections on the screens there. So that's his top 5 bets for the festival this week. Right, now on to the top judge himself, Mr. Harry Wilson. 5-1, please, Harry.
Number 5, we have One Way West in the 1:20 on Saturday. Number 4 is Key de Bourbon in the Grand National, 4 o'clock on Saturday. Number 3, we have Boom Bon in the 4:05 on Friday. Number 2 is Mr. Hope Street in the 2:30 on Saturday. And the best bet at Aintree is Indy Var Blue in the 1:45 on Friday.
Okay, Harry Wilson's selections on the screen there. His top 5 bets for the 3 days. And to finalise things here, Mr. Ed Nicholson. Top 5, please.
Okay, number 5 is Shermanator, Friday 5:15. That's the Debenhams Handicap Hurdle. Number 4, Highlands Legacy in the Red Rum Handicap, sponsored by the Close Brothers, Thursday at 4:40. Number 3, good old John Bond to win a third Melling Chase. That's Friday at 3:30. Number 2, we'll go with Johnny Who to double up in the 2 big spring festivals in the UK, having won the Ultima. And number 1, Lulumba will win for Nicky Henderson and Nico de Boinville, the Manifesto Novice Chase, Thursday, 2:20.
Top 5 selections for Ed there then. Right, brilliant. Yeah, nice and swift for the selection, guys. Really enjoyed that. Now it's time to do a little bit of a focus on the Grand National then. I'm just going to quickly give my top 3 for the race, and I won't go too much into detail here, but Grange Clare West, I think, is number 1. Like Matt said, 3rd last year, carrying 11.8, now carries 11.10. It's a very different national nowadays. I think you're going to see horses come back and do it again and again in races like this. I just think it's become a bit of a cross in some ways, but horses can get away with a couple of mistakes a little bit more easier than they used to be able to. So I think he's going to go and win the race after, you know, the Bobby Joe producing the last 2 winners, as Matt said. I do think Iron Maximus, I think he's going to go close again. I think he'll come in 2nd. And what are the odds that last year's winner will also come into the frame as well, Nick Rocket, to reach the 3rd spot? That'll be my top 3 for the race. Matt Rennie, we know you also like Grange Clare West, but who will be finishing 2nd and 3rd?
Yeah, I've gone Grange Clare West to win. I'm with you. Iron Maximus, he's just when it comes to these sort of, well, this race specifically, he's such a good yardstick. So I've got him to come 2nd again. I've gone someone else's selection, Key de Bourbon. I think we're on a big, big race at a big price. We need to get a big price, one to finish in the frame there. I think Key de Bourbon, I think Willie Mullins, 1, 2, 3, potentially that one. And I was umming and ahhing, but I think she'll run a big race is Panic Attack. I think it would be great for the race if the Paddy Power and the Coral Gold Cup winner, with this now obviously formerly the Hennessy, runs a big race in a hark back to the good old days. But I think she might just miss out of the top 3 just narrowly to them 3.
Yeah, she's become a bit of a talking horse, and she panicked out. Loads of people mentioning her name ahead of Saturday's big race. So Grange Clare West, Iron Maximus, and Key de Bourbon for Matt Rennie. And we can link him perfectly from Key de Bourbon into Harry Wilson, who had Key de Bourbon on top. Who finishes 2nd and 3rd, Harry?
Yeah, I think it might be a Giggingstown 1-2 this year. So I'm going to go for another one at a big price, and that's Favre de Champdu, who we saw finish 2nd in the cross country, taking the Tiger Roll route to the National. And I do think the top lot are pretty solid. I don't think they'll win, though. And I think Grange Clare West can chase them home again.
Okay, Grange Clare West is one that we've all agreed on the top 3, but that might be about to change, courtesy of Ed Nicholson.
Yeah, well, Harry thinks the Giggingstown top 2. I think a JP McManus top 3. Let's go for Johnny Who to win, followed by Jaguar, who's looking like a horse that loves to come 2nd these days. And he might do it in the biggest race of all. on Saturday. And third, Iron Maximus, who won this off a rating of 167. He's back down to that rating, having run well in just three grade ones since. Loves the course, as we know, will be prime for the race. So that's a 1-2-3 for JP McManus. Johnny Who, Jaguar, Iron Maximus.
Johnny Who, Jaguar, Iron Maximus. I can imagine there will be quite a few punters who actually end up playing the JP McManus kind of trifecta and trying to get up with all of the horses that he has in the race. And imagine that could become a popular bet because they're not all without a chance. There's no doubt about it. So there you go. Let us know in the comments who you fancy for Grand National. Even leave your top threes down below as well. And we'll react to a few of those in the comments. Brilliant show, guys. Really enjoyed that. I love the fact that we've done this for the Grand National. Plenty of time for the viewers to get stuck in, have a look at our bets, see who they fancy, and let us know who they fancy as well. So big thanks to Harry Wilson, Matt Rennie, and Ed Nicholson. Like I say, the party is very much 48 hours away at the time of recording this show. It is a really great week. It even starts on Wednesday night. Liverpool's going to be buzzing as Paris Saint-Germain and Liverpool face each other the night before a national. I'd imagine the city is going to be quite lively. So if you are in Liverpool, do find somewhere to watch that because there will be a good crowd. But as always, thanks very much for watching. Big thanks to the team. And as always, do gamble responsibly. We'll see you soon.